We rolled in this morning and it's pretty crowded. It's very hot. It's a pretty challenging place for families to turn up starving and thirsty. We visited a registration camp and saw how people are being processed to make sure that the health of their kids is all right, that they're working out what kind of nutrition regime they're going to need, getting their tents and their booking utensils. Very methodical process to make sure that people are properly looked after, but also that people are screened in case of health and all sorts of other issues. But then just walking around the camp, talking to people, hearing their stories, some of which are really pretty harrowing, but also seeing the fact that, you know, there's no school, so the kids have got nothing to do. There's not really very much work. So there's a lot of people in a very crowded place, in a very hot, dusty environment with nothing much to do but survive. So that's a big challenge.
Can you give me one or two examples of the stories that you heard? We're hearing that people are walking very long distances without food and not much water to get to Dadaab.
We talked to a number of women, because a lot of women have come without their husbands, because the husbands have had to dodge for security reasons, going sort of on the main roads. And they've walked for 15 days, 20 days. Some of heartbreaking stories of having to leave children who are too weak to continue walking. The women I spoke to this morning just looked, I wouldn't say traumatized, but just completely defeated, but also relieved to be somewhere safe for their kids and able to get some food and some water.
Now, tell us what Oxfam is able to do in a situation like this.
Okay, well, I'm standing in kilometers of plastic piping here because we put in the water and sanitation systems for these camps. In fact, where I'm standing now will be a camp for about 80,000 people. So we put in the hard infrastructure that provides the clean water, the bores, the big gravity-fed water tanks, the tap stands and the pipes. But alongside that, we put in latrines so that people not only protects their health, but also enables them to live with more dignity and with more privacy than they could otherwise do, not having to go out into the bush where often, you know, women are at risk of rape and abuse. So very important factors. And then alongside those hard infrastructure things, we also put in support for public health and hygiene, basically teaching people about how to use those amenities properly and safely.
Can you give me an idea of how deep you have to dig in order to find water at Dadaab?
Well, I was astonished to find that in Dadaab they have to go down 200 meters because it's saline if they don't go below 180. Pretty challenging for our drilling team.
We've been hearing that the Dadaab complex is very overcrowded, several hundred thousand people there. We've also heard that there is a camp nearby that hasn't been used yet, and that many people are calling for the Kenyan government to open it. What exactly is the situation with this new camp that you're talking about?
Well, that's where exactly where I'm standing, actually, where we're putting in the systems. We're pretty confident now that this is going to go ahead quite soon. I mean, this is all the signs we've been given. I mean, obviously, that has to be announced formally, but we're working on the presumption that it will go ahead.
Now, is Oxfam able to do any of this water and sanitation work in Somalia itself, where all these refugees are coming from?
Yes, in fact, contrary to reports, we can actually run quite a substantial program in Somalia, and we do it through partners. We're basically reaching out to about 300,000 people in Somalia through partners on water supply and sanitation, and we're reaching quite a large number of people, about 3,000 a week children with therapeutic nutrition. So you can do things if you work intelligently with partners.
Can you tell us where in Somalia these programs are underway?
It's in the south, and I don't want to be more specific than that for obvious reasons, because, you know, the partners have to negotiate their security arrangements with many parties. But it's in the south, in the area where people are leaking through into the north of Kenya.
So do you think these programs will be enough to prevent Somalis from having to travel to Dadaab to try to get help?
We hope so. I mean, it's a pretty desperate move to walk 15, 20 days in this sort of heat and dust with children. And I think from what we're seeing, where there is provision of services, people are staying put.